Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
That's why you tune in to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, folks, because we help you to see and make sense out of it all. That's right. Welcome to the show as we come to you once again live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board. Of course, that would be Michael McBath, Super Bowl bound next week.
Sanctuary City bound.
Sanctuary City. You going to take your cardboard box to sleep in?
You know, after hearing about Chicago this weekend, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a guard, you know?
I tell you what.
Bodyguard.
Actually, they're hiring armed security in Seattle because the police situation is so bad up there.
Is that right?
It is indeed. Okay, we are live. We're here. 407-774-8255 is the number. If you have any questions or comments about the overnight news, including the shootout in Oregon, where one of the occupiers of that Federal Reserve up there, the organizer evidently, Lavoy Finicum, was shot dead by police and or FBI agents last night. And, of course, we thought we went off the air. We'd done something big. We got to say Donald Trump, you know, got endorsed by a couple of people and sort of broke the news.
Yep.
And then, whammo, that's forgotten.
I know. I mean, that didn't even make it to the network.
So we're going to talk about that, too. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, so feel free to call us. But real quickly, don't forget, if you're a resident, or if you haven't heard, if you are a resident of Apopka, you need to scoot on over to the CPS Sportsplex and view your potential city council members for seats 3 and 4. There are 3 candidates for each seat. There's going to be an open forum tonight. The doors open at 6 o'clock. You will be excused to miss that part of the American Adversaries, but only this time. But you'll be able to go in at 6 o'clock and meet the candidates up close, shake their hands. And then at 7 o'clock, the debate forum starts. Seat 3 will be from 7 to 7:45, and seat 4 will be from 7:45 to 8:30. Our very own Pete Paquette will be over there, as well as Jim Turner, who will be the host of the forum, if you will, the moderator of the forum. And it's going to be a great event. And if you are a resident of Apopka, this is a great way to be informed about your city council members.
You know what, Chris?
And that election, real quick, will be March the 15th, the day of the Florida primary, presidential primary.
Good.
There should be a pretty good turnout.
Yeah. What I would like to see, just the first question of one of these fellows, just to see all, you know, how people run for office, but they don't do the homework.
Yeah.
First question is the budget balanced? Second question, if not, tell me why. I wonder if all 6 can even give that answer. I would hope they could, because if they couldn't, bye-bye.
All right.
You know?
So, but that's what you'll find out if you head on over to CPS. Now, if you can't make it or are going to be late, you can listen on the radio. And actually, the coverage will start at 6:50. So we're going to go out of here just a little bit before 6:50 to hand it off to the guys over there. And you'll be able to listen right here on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer, and 1520 WBZW. And, of course, Big Jim Turner hosts Our Hometown on 1520 every afternoon live from 3 to 5. And he does a great job interviewing people, so I'm sure it will be a very informative forum tonight. CPS Sportsplex, that's the northwest side of Apopka, just south of where that new Wawa is out there by the 429 intersection. Okay, so last night Trump holds a news conference, and during the news conference he sort of seemed to go through a thought process where he starts out, maybe I won't show up, maybe I won't, no, I've decided I won't attend the participate in Thursday night's debate, the final debate before the Iowa caucus, which is to be held in Iowa. And as it stands now, he is not going. decision seems to be irrevocable, but you never know with Donald Trump. So what is going on? Let me just give you a little rundown, and then Mike will
we've got a couple opinions on this.
All right. So first of all, this is classic Trump. All right. If you've read his book, The Art of the Deal, you keep the other side guessing. You do the unexpected. You do what no one else does. And the reason you do that is because it shakes everybody up. They don't know what to think. They don't know where you're coming from. They don't know what to expect next. So part of it is that. Part of it is he is sending not so subtle messages, at least a couple of them. For one, what was he talking about the last couple of days leading up to last night? How, of course, he's been talking for a number of days, how nasty Ted Cruz is. But then he starts with this, but I can make deals. I can work with Nancy Pelosi. I can work with Chuck Schumer. I've worked with Harry Reid. I'm the kind of person who can make deals. So all of a sudden, from some National Review conservative types, we hear, oh, my Lord. He's going to make deals. He's going to make deals with Nancy Pelosi. He's going to show his true progressive colors. So what does Trump do? He walks away from a deal. And the way he put it is, I don't accept bad deals. I know when to walk away from a bad deal. So on the one hand, he says, I can work with people, but if they put a bad deal in front of me, I ain't going to take it. That's part of the message that he was sending. The setup was, I can work with others. The slam down was, I'm not going to take this deal. It's a bad deal. What do I have to gain here? Right? Y'all are just going to team up on me. And even if you don't, I'm way ahead. So what? There's no real cost benefit for me here. There's every chance of something going wrong. Even if it goes entirely in my favor, what essentially good is it going to do me? And then there is this. For 5.5 years, I've been telling you folks how politics, especially at the state and national level, is much like professional wrestling. Because you get all this fodder all in the ring, and then you get the backroom deals, you got the scripted storylines, you got the one day we're brothers and love each other, the next day we're arch enemies, and then the next day we're back loving each other again. Lo and behold, this morning, now granted it's on MSNBC, but it happened twice. It happened first with one of their regulars, a fellow by the name of Willie Geist.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Geist said, this is the WWF.
He finally, he's listening to our show.
Somebody's finally getting it right.
Right.
And then later on, an author by the name of Kurt Anderson, who also has his own radio show, said, this is classic. It's a classic, quote unquote, pro wrestling move. You take the routine and you totally turn it upside down on its head.
Right.
And in the process, you drive the fans into a frenzy.
Wow.
And he has done exactly that. I don't think this was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I think this was well thought out and planned ahead of time. He spent pretty much a week sort of goading Fox. Right? Goading Fox.
Sort of warning them.
And then they finally took the bait. And when they took the bait, he slammed the door in their face.
Right.
And they don't like it. Because guess what? He was the motivation for the ratings.
Well, you know, Chris, I mean, you look at this, and I believe virtually Trump can take the cameras everywhere, right? I mean, think about this. Every form of media had him on today. Radio, TV,
they
you
can
name
talk
it.
About
Guess
nothing
who's,
else.
All right, here we are getting a couple days away from this primary, and he's on everything. His kids are on. Is this not working? And think about this. Is, you know, he soaks up when he is on the debate, you know, 36% of the time goes to him. So the reality of it is he's going to do an alternative show during the same time as the debate. They are definitely going to lose audience. Not even debatable on this. And then the other thing is, again, what do you think is going to happen? Well, I think Cruz, he may make some comments, but I'm afraid Cruz is now going to become the prime target of the debate because I wouldn't
How
want to be.
How about that?
That's what I mean, because I wouldn't want to be criticizing Trump too much because I'd look like a real heel because he's not here to defend himself, but guess who's here?
Guess who's going to be now center stage?
Was this? That's exactly
right. Guess who's going to be center stage?
Because those people that are left, they're going to go after him like rabid dogs.
And I believe that that's part of the motivation.
That's what I mean. So, and then again, with OAN Network putting on his event, and you know he's going to make it spectacular because he's already talking about changing this Wounded Warrior type affair, knowing his showtime. Boy, this is going to really be a problem for Fox. So.
It already is a problem for Fox.
Yeah, or is. And, yeah, will be, is.
Yeah, and he is demonstrating that he's not going to play by these monkey rules that, you know, this is the way it's done, Donald.
Oh, yeah. Changing the game.
He's changing the game. He's turning it upside down. He's turning it on its head. And they can't do a doggone thing about it. That is the beauty to behold in this, you know. And this is beautiful. It's beautiful, and believe me, this is not going to hurt him in the long run.
And really, Megyn Kelly was a wonderful excuse. I mean, in other words, he probably had this script, and he goes, okay, let's insert her in, and let's, here we go.
Well,
and even though when we get into a little bit, the next segment is, you know, some of the things Fox have really done to Trump, unfair. You know what I mean? Well, relative to the other candidates. Yeah. Not right.
And it turns out old Rupert may have some
ulterior motives. He has a few scars, which we'll bring up a little bit later.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. But in the meantime, he hit him where it hurts, in the pocketbook. It's kind of like its own little boycott.
Can you imagine the sponsors going, hey, you know, you got to get him back on. You know, I didn't pay you all this money for no people.
Right, exactly. Mm. And so he hit him where it hurts. He showed him that he's good for his threats.
Right.
He had threatened to do something like this, and now he has done it. The question now all the speculation is, will he actually show up after all? I don't know, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to bet he doesn't show either.
No, because like you said, now the pressure is going to be on Ted
Cruz.
What
I mean, you look at this, and Cruz is going to become the guy that's fired at because there's no one standing there. And you would look pretty bad if you kept criticizing like an empty spot.
But I will say this at the same time. He has given Ted Cruz a prime opportunity to separate himself from the pack.
Cruz is, well, we'll find out if he's Harvard's greatest debater.
We certainly will. We haven't seen it yet, I must say.
No.
You know, debating, too, is like any sport. It's a relative thing. If you ain't got very good competition, it's easy to be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, all right, has not so far been overly impressed. Actually, in terms of just debating skills, probably Rubio has actually been the best.
Actually, Rubio does seem the most quick-witted, in the sense he can respond in a very professional fashion on every type of question, where some of them, they're sort of lost.
You know? I know, and Cruz's delivery sometimes is just too rehearsed, too practiced.
I mean, you and me could do his arm motions. I can do that after watching two, three times. It's the same act.
Same thing. That's right. And you want to shake it up a little bit every now and then. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. That's what Donald Trump has done. He has outfoxed Fox, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think different, we'd love to hear that. If you think the same, you can call and tell us about that, too. But in my opinion, it didn't do Megyn Kelly any good to have Michael Moore show up on your show last night pile on.
Yeah, he's such a cutie, too.
I wonder if that guy ever takes a bath.
I wonder if he ever stops eating. So that's two problems. Let's think of his third, personality, right?
Too busy processing food to bathe.
Oh, God.
All right, let's take a break, though. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls and continue the conversation. So please stay with the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. A new little tune for Mr. T there.
I know. That's a great theme song for him. He had to play that at his gatherings, right?
I'm telling you, I feel sorry for the rest.
Yeah, that's terrific.
This guy is a master. He's a maestro. Like I said last night, he knows exactly what he's doing. This was planned. I'm quite certain this was planned out ahead of time. And he is a very shrewd calculation.
Yeah, and like we're talking about, Chris, all the Trumplicans are out. I mean, every channel you turned on, his son, his daughter, everybody, they're talking about him. I mean, everywhere, radio, yep. TV.
Yeah.
Great job, Don.
Great job. For you who are out there wondering, why would he do this just 2 days or 3 days before the Iowa caucus? Duh! There you go. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Right. He did a great job.
All right, let's go to Al first, and then we got Frank as well. Hey, Al, how about it?
Hey, I was watching that interview with Michael Moore, and man, that guy is creepy. I mean, I'm a liberal, but I'm ashamed of that dude.
Al, he's a Democrat.
He's
a staunch liberal Democrat.
He's a Canadian. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's the way I feel about him. He just to me, he feels dirty. That's why I say I wonder if he ever takes a bath.
Well, you know, all the things he said about our military, it's a little bit hard to forgive the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you wanted to say something about Trump in the debate.
Yeah, I wanted to give you kudos for the observation, because I didn't even think about that. But, it's a good way of looking at it. And since he's the deal maker, that would be part of making the deal.
You got it, man.
And I think it's smart enough that Bernie Sanders kind of is trying to do the same thing.
As a matter of fact, we're going to get to that. But yeah,
we're
going
to get to Bernie in a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't blame him either, mm-hmm. because these have been little Hillary love fests. And so, hey, you know, eventually you have to do a cost-benefit analysis. In other words, are the costs potentially greater than the benefits? If so, then you don't do it. And,
right.
You know, you just have to walk away from bad deals. All right, thanks, Al. I appreciate it. Thank you for the encouragement. I always appreciate that. Frank, you are up next. Thank you for calling.
Carly Simon, guys. I mean, if you don't like Carly Simon, you don't know music.
We love her. Why do you think we played her?
Nobody does it better, right?
Dude, I mean, that girl has got the greatest voice.
Oh, man. She's the best.
You got that right. I love that song.
And liberal Democrat, by the way, is redundant anymore.
I know. Yeah, really. Far left liberal Democrat, right? That is redundant.
You're wasting your breath saying
Bernie both. And the nuts, right?
Yeah. There you go.
You know, the reason somebody's conservatives are freaking out because Donald Trump's saying he's going to make deals with Nancy Pelosi. It's their idea of a deal is Nancy gets everything she wants, and they get nothing.
That's right. Any deal that he could make
Donald's
with her.
Not going to make that kind of deal. You know?
I know. It's funny because he's playing these guys. He's stringing them along. He throws them a little bait. They go for it, and then he slams the trap on them. You think they might learn after a little while.
Like
I don't know.
Like a violin, my friend.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, here's how I would have responded to Megyn Kelly when she, you know, I remember leading up to that first debate, she was just like so excited about it, and she would say, "Oh, we got some great questions." She couldn't wait to lay that thing out there, right?
Yeah,
and here's how I would have responded. I would have said, "Well, gee, Megyn, how come you don't have any of the quotes that I've said about guys? I've insulted more guys than I have women."
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
Mean, how come you just picked out the quotes I said about women?
Yeah. Select the memory, right, Frank?
Yeah.
It's an obvious fear, because if she mentions all the things he said about guys, then it looks balanced. I mean, it's supposed to be balanced, right? Well, she just couldn't wait to spring that on.
In conservative circles, you almost never hurt yourself bashing the press, and I mean Newt Gingrich got a lot of mileage out of it last time around. But yeah, once again, Trump knows what he's doing here. This is all very calculated. It's not spur of the moment, and he's just setting these folks up and picking them off.
Yeah, and I tell you, this Michael Moore thing is going to stick to Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it's going to stick. Yeah. Like Christy hugging Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
But Michael, him hugging you? Ew. I would, if I was her, I'd take my clothes off and throw them in the washer.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I'd be afraid of what's on his clothes, man.
I'd be heading for the decontamination chamber. Hey, Frank, thanks a lot. We appreciate you being
All
out
right,
there,
guys.
Man.
Appreciate you being out there.
Thank you.
Chris, when he was talking about, you know, the situation with Megyn Kelly, here's a woman, too. Recently, I'm sure you'll agree with me, every time she has a guest recently, they all ended up banging Trump. You know, you just wonder, what are you doing? I mean, why would you be doing this? Because you're supposed to be fair and balanced, and we know you have an agenda going on. But the reality is you were too obvious. You could go back probably in the last 3 week shows and you'll see three or four of her shows where there's somebody on there smashing away at Trump.
Right.
So,
well, she got two things working against her. For one, she hosts a show where, you know, asking these sort of outrageous questions is what makes you makes you famous.
That's part of it.
Right? And that's part of the celebrity now of the news business. All right? They all want to be celebrities. They all want to sign autographs for you and want you to have your picture with them and all that sort of thing. They crave that. The other thing she's got going against her is she's a lawyer. Right?
Yeah, people are not in love with that profession. No. I agree with you 100%. And she acts like a lawyer.
Yeah, you know, I thought about going to law school. That's one reason why I studied philosophy and political science as an undergraduate. That's a great law school background. Mm-hmm. And then I started learning what law school is all about. Law school is partly about, you might say the majority about, actually learning the law. The rest of law school is about learning how to be a lawyer. And it's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different reality, a whole different world. And all I can say is, look what the lawyers have done to our country and our world. All right? And this is another thing in Trump's favor. He's not a lawyer.
Chris, in all seriousness, like you, when I look at a candidate, if they are a lawyer, I mean, that's a major, major problem for me to vote for him, because the reality is, what is it, 70, 80% of all those sitting up in Washington are lawyers. And again, like you said, look what has happened through their wonderful compromises, right?
Well,
we've gotten nowhere.
Their world is different from ours,
right,
in a number of ways.
And we've seen the results of their world.
See what lawyers,
and no more.
That's right, what lawyers will do to us. I'm ready to take something different. And a guy who's willing to turn the world upside down to make it better might not be such a bad thing after all.
You're a true Trumplican.
We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
FM. Answer traffic from the Implant Solutions Today Traffic Center.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer. AccuWeather Forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms possible for this afternoon into this evening. Some of those could be heavy. Thunderstorms can bring some downpours, damaging wind, even an isolated tornado. High this afternoon, 72. Low tonight, 63. Tomorrow, cloudy with a shower or a heavy thunderstorm, and a high at 69. I'm Steve Williams, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
I must take exception to that bump, because I thought we saw political, professional wrestling at its finest last night when Trump did that press conference. And he is a different sort, and it is going to be fun to watch as far as it does go. And even if he's a president, it will be a fascinating presidency. There's no question in my mind about that. And
Chris,
it will not be an ordinary one, that's for sure.
I know, and I'm looking forward to his competing show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll have stars on it.
It'll be interesting to see.
I think it could be pretty interesting what he puts up, because, you know, he knows that every time he can distract people to watch him, oh, boy, does Fox learn a lesson.
Even if they don't watch him, if they just don't watch Fox.
Right. Either way.
He's a winner.
He wins big.
And he will be. One American News Network has agreed to broadcast whatever he wants to do. So he does have at least one major media outlet.
Right.
It's a cable channel, but it's on a good many of the cable providers around the country.
On AT&T right here, it's channel 208.
208, that's
right. Because Fox is 210.
Yeah.
And AON, I watch it all the time because it's pure news. It's absolutely a pretty good channel.
And, you know, and I know you and I have commented about this on the show before. We actually were watching OAN more so than Fox anymore, because you get actually more news.
Right.
On Fox, you're getting all this fluff stuff.
I know. I get tired of the cute little this, cute little that. And AON is straight news, and it's all day and night. I think they do a terrific job if you're a news junkie.
Right. That's right. Okay, we got some other poll numbers, but we'll get to those in a second. We'll go back to the phone lines now. And by the way, you can be a part of the show as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. In a couple minutes, we're going to go over the rules to tomorrow's contest.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big day.
Yeah, I got a new pet. I got another pet, but we'll go do that in a second. First, we got JJ on the line. Howdy, JJ. JJ, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey.
Howdy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. I want to present another side.
Okay.
I get a kick out of Trump, believe me, and all those folks teasing on me. But when I first heard it, I thought he sounded kind of petulant, kind of like, I'm not a fan of Megyn Kelly. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just saying how some people will view it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, especially if they have questions about him anyway.
Right.
They'll think, you know, that he seems like a crybaby. Like, oh, you can't handle, like, it's been Dana Bash, such a, she's saying, oh, she's a third rate, she's really, you know. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like, whatever I forget the insult he said about her, but he said something like she's a third rate reporter and something else. And I just thought, well, there's not, I don't know who else he thinks is so much better. You know, but.
I don't know. Maybe he's been listening to us. the fact that you're right, your initial point there, that that a lot of people are seeing this not in a positive way. I've heard several comments myself today, but these are comments that are from people that weren't diehard Trump supporters, who are on the fence or favoring somebody else. And I don't think at this point that that's what he's aiming at. Trump, I believe, has got a roadmap to victory, if you will. And that roadmap to victory ends on November the 4th or whatever. And I think all along the way, assuming he's still in there and eventually is the winner of the nomination, he's going to do certain things that are on that roadmap to make his case. And obviously the map can be changed along the way, but I think that this is part of a calculated strategy, and the show, if you will, that he put on last night was just to make it as big a splash of it as he could.
Yeah, I didn't understand what he said about something about Roger Ailes and his wise guys, or I got the wise guy message, or something like that. And it sounds like the mafia or something.
You know something, Chris, too?
Well, that's, yeah.
Roger Ailes, actually, today, they said, was trying to reach Trump's, here, that's maybe what it was, he was trying to reach Trump's wife or his daughter. There are continued negotiations about reappearing.
Yeah.
And that was going on today.
Yeah, see.
So that's probably what you heard.
If nothing else, he has shown he's in charge now.
I know. They're trying to reach him.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I agree.
And so you have to understand that he's working on both a, what I call a liminal level and a subliminal level. And this is just loaded with subliminal messages. I'm in charge. I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. Yes, I'll make a deal, but I'll walk away if it's a bad deal.
Yeah,
of these things are incorporated into this one move. And during the debate, he may have just put all of the pressure, as Mike said, on Ted Cruz. Now, it's a great opportunity for Ted Cruz,
but
it could also be...
It'll backfire tremendously if it goes astray.
Exactly.
I think they're still going to have good numbers because people are going to want to watch them duke it out, especially after, I don't know if you heard Chris Matthews say, oh, who wants to watch two Cubans now?
Chris Matthews, his pants are still wet.
Yeah,
Chris Matthews, you know.
He was probably
he'd do anything
scotch
to destroy
a little too
the show,
right? The show, exactly.
But, actually, on that issue,
But I think they'll probably be good numbers to start with, and they're going to fade.
And they're going to fade because, like myself, I'm going to be watching AON for a while because I think Trump's very entertaining. I think these others pretty boring. I mean, Ron Paul, I can't wait to hear him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, and by the way, the ratings for the Fox Business Network's debate were down from the first Fox Business Network debate. So there was already going to be some fall off, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And so now Trump is going to be going, yeah, see there? I showed you. So this guy, I mean, it's unorthodox.
Yeah.
But but it's working. And,
yeah.
And so that's why I say, you know, this guy epitomizes what I've been saying for 5.5 years on this show. And the reason saying it is because... that works. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's done all right for it. He's definitely. I mean, I hope he can turn our economy. Or I hope he can do for the American economy what he's done for his own personal finances.
Well, I know this. I can't say that he will, but I know he'll try like the Dickens, because he knows now he will be judged by what he does as president. And he's not right. he hates being a loser.
And he's used to measurable results.
Right.
In other words, that's why I want him in there, because you take each department, you make sure they're audited, you get rid of the fat. You know, I think he can report to America just like a business person would, and I think he can get a lot done.
You know, in a way, who he kind of reminds me of, too, is Michael Jordan. I mean, he sails through the air and does things nobody else can do, and everybody else can do is just stand there in awe and wonder.
Didn't he say I could shoot somebody and it wouldn't affect my pulse?
He did. And he was tongue in cheek, and the crowd laughed. They burst out in laughter. That's just the way he makes his points. And once again, he's sending little subliminal messages, like, I'm just like you folks.
Yep.
You know what my reservation is? I think we've gotten so far away from the Constitution, and that's something I do like about Cruz. He seems to be,
don't be surprised. Trump does the unthinkable if he turns around and invites Ted Cruz to be his running mate.
I hope so.
I would almost be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Mike, I was going to tell you, would you say something about your clothes and
I was talking about Michael Moore and Megyn Kelly sitting beside each other. I'd have my clothes fumigated if I was sitting by Michael Moore.
I was going to say incinerated.
Yeah, that's even better.
You have to watch out for lice and bed bugs.
I mean, he better be watching his weight, you know, any bigger and you couldn't get him in a room.
All right.
Thank you,
JJ. We appreciate you being out there. Johnny, you are up next.
Yes,
thank you for calling.
All right, John.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, the first thing is I'm really a Cruz supporter.
Good. That's not a bad thing.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
I do like Donald Trump, and what I think about this move of his, I think it's brilliant. I just got done listening to Hannity, and he had Pat Buchanan on. And even Pat Buchanan is saying, oh, this is a bad move, but who is everybody going to be talking about?
Trump.
They're going to be talking about Trump.
I know.
I
for the next,
they're even going to be
minute.
Talking about him after.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So,
he's controlling the media rather than the other way around. But now, as far as Cruz goes, my first impression was, This is great for Cruz, because it gets him now a chance to stand center stage. And I think Mike's right. I think he's going to take a lot of incoming. But if he's up to the task and bats them all out of the park, guess who also is going to come out of this looking pretty doggone good? And once again, I still think there's a little something between Cruz and Trump, even given with everything that's happened the last 2 weeks. If there's anybody out there, look at it this way. If there is anybody out there other than Trump that this has the potential to greatly help, who would it be?
Cruz.
Ted Cruz. He has just put him front and center. Thank you very much.
I mean, when you think about it, Chris, if it supposedly is this high-quality debater, this is the opportunity of
a lifetime.
Because Trump's not there. I don't need to really spend my whole time, you know, fighting back and forth with him. I can now put forth all my principles and beliefs.
Right.
He'll do real well.
And I think that if Cruz takes the opportunity to make the case for himself, doesn't go away. He can make a comment or two about
Trump.
Well, he needs to focus on himself and fight off the barbs that he's going to take from the other guys. If he can do that well, he will come out of this really good. So, Johnny, great call. I appreciate you being out there.
I also think Megyn Kelly is owned by the Republican establishment.
Well, yeah, it's part that, but her biggest fault is she's a lawyer. And, you know, it's just a different mindset. And lawyers are all about gotcha. And, you know, bless her heart. she can't help it. Johnny, thank you. I appreciate you being out there. All right. Before we take another break, you know, tomorrow is contest day, and Mike's come up with another doozy.
Well, you know, this has been by demand. What we're going to do now is everybody think of a movie star, think of a politician. And a lot of people identify with the type of...
It could even be Mike or me.
Right. A lot of people identify...
We want to be celebrities, too.
Right. A lot of people identify with the pets that are associated with different individuals.
Yep.
Now, in the selection of these pets for your individual politician or movie star, whoever, you can choose between an insect, which might be appropriate for a lot of them, a fish, an animal...
You said we'd even allow a
bird,
plant.
A plant.
A plant. Yep.
So just to give you an idea, you know, for example, Let's say I mentioned Hillary. I'm going to use a real easy one. Hillary, and I don't like using her because there's a lot of other ones I would like to give their animals to. But Hillary might be a barracuda. Now, you know, that might be a winning entry.
Yeah.
Now, how about Jeb Bush? Now, remember, it can be a fish, an insect, an animal, a bird. Now, Jeb Bush, I thought about this a lot, and I'm thinking, what fish would really identify with Jeb? And then I really came, a flounder. And I don't know if any of you ever saw Animal House. You remember Flounder in Animal House?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I like Jeb. I think he's a great guy. I think he probably could do a good job, but I don't think he'll ever get the bat. And then my last one, which is another guy that's a really exciting individual, is Mitch McConnell. Now, I think what he could identify with is a slug. Have you ever seen those slugs that walk along the sidewalk? They go about an inch every 5 hours.
And they leave a slimy trail.
I think that would be beautiful. So this is the contest, and I think we're going to get some great responses tomorrow. And just identify which pet that you think really emphasizes who your favorite politician is.
Now, you challenged me last night to come in with two.
Chris, I want to hear two of yours.
I came up with one last night. Okay, that's Bernie Sanders, and his pet would be a chimpanzee.
He very much so.
Because
I think
chimpanzee waves his hands around, does funny things with his tongue,
imitate each other.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, like they're surfing.
That's right. And Barack Obama's pet would be a skunk. Right? Part black, part white, stinks.
Oh. And he said, that's pretty good. I like,
spews,
but see, that's the type of entry we want
odorous,
because you name the animal and then you break the animal down and show why. That was very good, Chris, and that's what we're looking for. We'll have a lot of fun with that, and I think maybe we'll be able to be very selective in our pets for these politicians and maybe send them off, let them know.
There you go.
So
that'll
be fun.
Tomorrow night, you'll be playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano's. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's MB Service. If you've got a Mercedes-Benz, you will not get better care at a better price anywhere in town than Jerry's MB Service. It is the dealer alternative, jerrysmb.com. And a brand new Liar Liar Pantsuit on Fire bumper sticker.
I think that's the most exciting of all. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because, you know, Positano's is fabulous everything.
I tell you what.
The spaghetti there. Oof.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little powwow at the White House today. Yes, there was BS and BO in the White House today.
Bernie and the Nuts.
You got to get that stutter
Bernie!
In there.
Bernie. Can you imagine playing that? He could play that. He ought to play that as his opening tune whenever he has these rallies, right?
There you go.
I mean, if they believe his 90% tax story, they got to love this song. So Bernie and the Nuts.
By the way, he was in, where was that, Minnesota yesterday?
I know they were trying to claim 20,000 people, but I think that was a combination
of two.
That's what I'm saying, because it didn't look like 20,000 to me.
It was two events, but he did. He's packing the house, too.
Was that one outside the picture? It looked like it might have.
No, they're inside, indoor venues, but a lot of people, just like Trump events, get turned away at the door.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough room in the venue.
But, Chris, like we talk about, this guy, and it really does sort of turn my stomach. I mean, he seems like a nice, old, wonderful old man, and I'm sure that's what sells him. But the reality is, it's like bad grandpa. You know, I mean, this is a guy, it's preaching a story that is so unfair to the youth of America and their parents. Many of them, unfortunately, don't get economics. The reality of it is, all he is preaching is a future bankruptcy down the road, which all these kids believe they're getting something for free. But kids, and I'd like to see him explain it, but by the way, there is a, with all this free college education and free medical and everything, there is a little problem. When you get towards your retirement, there's going to be nothing there because we're going to raise taxes so high you won't be able to make contributions to your retirement. Yeah. You have nothing. I mean, the guy is a complete economic fraud.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's dangerous, you know, in the sense that this guy preaches a story that can't exist, a fairy tale world.
Well, he is just the extreme of what all liberals
are. He is the extreme.
When you get right down to it.
And did you see, too, Chris, when they say a one-payer, you know, having gone through this nightmare of Obamacare, I never have seen such junk in my life as one who was bought from, you know, for my daughter. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, was this a collection of incompetency that I couldn't even believe you what we went through.
Oh, it's not over yet.
I know.
The worst with Obamacare is yet to come. Because
financially, the numbers to the American people, this is an embarrassment. I don't know how you could honestly, no offense, Democrats, how you could vote for one Democrat because of what they did to the average American's pocketbook just in Obamacare alone that you can identify it hitting you direct.
Well, see, this is part of the beauty of the two-party system. You always have the other party to blame things on.
Well, I know who to blame on this one.
Well, but, you know, if the party you're blaming things on is not good enough at sort of reflecting or at least blocking those accusations, you're going to get away with it. And see, that's part of the frustration with the Republican Party, is that they have rolled over too many times and gotten rolled too many times by liberals and Democrats, and now people are just fed up with it and not willing to give them another chance. Or, you know, so that's, once again, part of the Trump mystique. By the way, we have a small transcript here of part of the conversation between Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders in the White House today. I'll try to read it. It goes a little bit something like this. It starts out with Bernie Sanders. Excuse me. And then Barack goes, settle down there, Bernie. You're getting a little too excited there. Quit swinging around the Oval Office. I'm sorry, but you know, the Clintons, they got a lot of dirt on me. I got to treat Hillary right. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's swinging from the rafters. Get him out of here.
That would have been a short conversation, I can say that. Wow, you know?
The chimpanzee and the skunk. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Charlie, you are up next. Thank you for calling so much. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, guys, love your show, love your show.
Thank you.
I feel it every day on my drive home. It keeps me sane. Hey, for those that don't know how this Obama thing is working, you have no idea what's going to happen January of 2017.
Give us a
quick snapshot.
Yeah.
You think your rates are high now? January 2017, number one, the subsidies to the insurance companies goes away.
Oh, boy. That means the public picks it up.
Billions of dollars.
Yep.
Number two, the subsidies to the insured goes away.
Oh, to all the insured?
You know, $1,200 a month for four people with a $10,000 household deductible. You're looking at probably $3,800 to $4,200 a month with a $20,000 household deductible. It's a death spiral. It's done.
Yeah, it is.
And you know what, Chris? This is
the
ruined.
Numbers just will not add up.
And what it's actually done, Charlie, which I'm sure you're cognizant of this, is that you have so many people out there that actually had health insurance that now can't have it, that are honest, hardworking people, that they just can't take it because the premiums are too much and you'll never get through the deductible. I mean, the whole thing is a colossal disaster, and we ended up punishing, I call the regular American individual. I mean, I can tell you, my premiums, this is horrible, for four people, get ready, $17,000.
A year.
A year. It's ridiculous. Think I love that loser, Barack Obama, or any of the people who have a D after their name for derelict?
What's that, Charlie? Go ahead.
There is an alternative. If I'm allowed to use a company name over the phone?
Go ahead.
U.S. Health Advisors.
Okay. I'll write that down.
Is there a website?
They've got a website. They've got an office right down there at Magnolia and Park Lake. Some of the finest agents in the company.
Great.
Finest agents in the business. I had a couple when I was there. It's 100% commission, so if you're not well-funded during non-open enrollment, you've got problems. But I had a family that were paying $1,670 a month with a $10,000 deductible. Mother and father, two kids, everybody healthy. Okay?
Yep, right. That's about the same package.
I got them signed up, all four of them. Zero deductible, first dollar copay, $425 a month.
Wow. I didn't think that stuff existed anymore.
Rate lock.
Yeah.
calculated it out, 6 years with one increase based on age, in a six-year period, I had saved that family $149,000.
God bless you. I hope they send you a Christmas card, man.
Now, Charlie, your company's not out of the Bahamas, is it?
Hey. No. They don't operate in all 50 states. Look them up online. There's agents that I'm sure there's guys in the office right now.
Yeah.
And they're reaching out to self-employed, self-insured. If you're under a group plan, sorry, can't help you.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, Charlie,
that was great. Thanks. We appreciate that.
Yeah, if you don't mind, stay on the line. Give Nick your phone or email address so we can contact you off the air. But I got to take a hard break, okay? God bless you. All right, George, if you'll hold on the line, we'll pick you up on the other side. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. I hope you're on the way or are already at the forum for the Apopka City Council seats at the CPS Sportsplex. The doors open right now.
Intelligence Conservative. FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roadrunner, honey.
The show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we got another big hour lined up for you. You can be a part of it, too. All you have to do is grab that phone, pick it up, and dial 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero will pick it up on this end, and he'll patch you through as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. Still in the studio with me is the chairman of the board, Mike McBass, Super Bowl bound next week. But we also now have in the studio with us some of our great friends from Legal Immigrants for America. That's, of course, LIFA. And you can join LIFA and find out what they're doing simply by going to golifa.com. Got Chris Kassler and Bruni. Once again, welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be here. Thank you.
All right.
It's great to be back.
All right. And before we get into the conversation deeply with them, we got a caller. I'll get to him here in a second. But just a little review from the first hour, in case you missed it. Here we thought last night we had announced some big news that Trump was being endorsed by Jerry Falwell Jr. and Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And then, bam, just a couple of hours later, that news was dwarfed by the man himself announcing in a press conference that at times was, shall we say, adversarial with the reporters. Donald Trump announced that he will not attend Thursday's debate. And this, of course, has turned things upside down, which is what I believe exactly what Donald Trump wanted to do. I've been telling you for 5.5 years, politics is a lot like professional wrestling. And for the astute politician out there who might have heard that and applied himself, it would help them in the campaign. And that is what I believe has been fascinating, because Trump, I believe, understands that. Democrats understand it, too. They just might not verbalize it that way. But what it, in essence, means is that when it comes to big political decisions, emotion is going to outweigh logic. I'm sorry if you don't like that. That's the world in which we live, because we are human beings. We are, at our core, emotional creatures. Donald Trump pulled off what Willie Geist and Kurt Anderson, a author and talk show host this morning, both on MSNBC, called a wrestling move, a professional wrestling move, where when everything seems like it's, you know, in a sort of a routine, you flip it upside down. You just shake everything up. And that's what he has done. He has now put himself squarely in the limelight. He has shown, he talked for a couple of days about how he could make deals even with the likes of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Last night, he has shown that he will walk away from a deal if he doesn't think it's a good deal. And in this case, he didn't think, according to him, that the debate Thursday, tomorrow night, was going to be a good deal. So what he did is he set everyone up with, I can make a deal, then the slam down is, but I'll walk away from bad deals. And by the way, I'm in charge here. I don't dance to your tune. You need me more than I need you. And at the end of the day, though, I'm sure what drives him is respect. He wants respect. He doesn't think that he got it or was going to get it from Fox. And so he said, to heck with you. Now, Mike made an excellent point, because what this does is it puts Ted Cruz now. And by the way, there will not be an empty podium. That's right. Already in the rules. There are no empty podiums in the debate. So now Ted Cruz will be squarely in the center.
No, I figure either they're collaborating with each other, or it was a truly brilliant move by Trump, because what happens is now Cruz is going to sit there. He's going to be right in front of the firing squad. How much are you going to criticize a guy that's not there when he can't respond? Because you know if you say too much, you look pretty bad. So now Cruz gets all the heat. Now the other side of it is maybe this was all planned. I don't know. But like I say, I think it's a very smart move. Plus, as we all know, that it's a case that on AON Network, which they're going to be doing the Trump event, which I'm sure this event's going to be a lot more exciting.
The alternative.
Right, the alternative. And then maybe a couple other channels will pick it up by tomorrow night. So he's going to damage Fox's viewership without a doubt. Not even a debatable issue.
All right. George has been holding patiently on the line. George, thank you for that and appreciate your call tonight.
Okay. It's my pleasure, gentlemen.
Hey, George.
Hi. Listen, I just heard something. Actually, the whole family heard this. It was on Sam Sorbo's show, morning show on 660, very early in the morning.
Okay.
She said that Trump just made a brilliant move, and that move was to pluck away from Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama his aide, Stephen Miller. He's a top congressional staffer on policy on immigration and like issues. He's considered one of the most brilliant minds on Capitol Hill on immigration.
And you're saying he just joined the Trump campaign?
Yeah, he sure did. He was hired by Donald Trump.
Well, that's once again, this guy hires capable, competent people. And boy, do we have a lack of that in Washington, D.C. I didn't know that, but I see Bruni from Legal Immigrants from America is over here nodding her head, so she evidently has some details on that.
Oh, that's grand. That's right. Grand, because we've got a terrible situation with all this influx of immigrants from Syria.
You're absolutely right.
Very dangerous, very deadly.
Well, George, that's why we're Trumplicans. We're not Republicans. Yeah. We're not Democrats. We're Trumplicans.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. Thanks, George. Excellent
My
call.
Pleasure.
Appreciate
thanks.
That.
Good night.
Thank you for being out there. Bruni.
Actually, I don't have any more details, but I had also heard that, and we know one of Jeff Sessions' strongest areas is
illegal immigration.
Illegal, yes, and also, you know, Islamic
the
issues.
Threat, exactly.
And so with that, it looks like that was a very good move on Trump's part.
Well, Chris, we saw also that Murdoch, remember, part of the ownership of Fox.
He is Fox.
You know, yeah, he is Fox. Well, guess what? He is one of the founders and big partners of Partnership for the New America Economy, which these people are for massive immigration. They're the visa people, and they spend tons of money trying to get people into this country and forcing job loss by the American public. And this is Murdoch. And Murdoch also, they pointed out that on many of the Fox shows, if you watch, they never really talk about the real atrocities that are going on by immigration throughout the United States, and they know it. So the answer is, oh, yeah, Fox is a right, I'm not sure what they are. You know, this guy is a staunch immigrationist.
Bruni, Chris, was Rupert Murdoch on your radar?
Yes, he was. He's on the board of that organization, and also so is Robert Iger, who's the head of Disney.
That's
and
exactly
they are
right.
They are in favor of open borders and multiplying the number of H-1B visas. And we are at LIFA very interested in actually planning a documentary on the whole H-1B visa problem, because Disney itself has fired 300 people after forcing them to train their replacements. But that's just one of many corporations in this game.
As a matter of fact, two technicians who were fired by Disney last year and had to train their replacements have filed federal lawsuits, and they're seeking class action status for the other 300 or so that you just mentioned.
Right. There's an attorney I've interviewed on tape already down in Sarasota. She's got a class action suit for the Disney workers. Her name is Sarah Blackwell, and she's a very brave woman. This is a difficult task, but she's an independent attorney and is bringing a class action suit on behalf of these people who've lost their jobs.
Right. Now, Jeff Sessions' name was being kicked around a little bit yesterday when Trump announced in the morning that he would have a huge endorsement to announce later on. And people, a lot of people thought it might be Jeff Sessions. Evidently, there is a little something there that he hired away his top guy.
It appears that way.
Yeah, so you would think that Jeff Sessions would obviously be okay with that, I would think.
Yes.
But it obviously that there is some consolidation around Trump over the immigration issue. And, of course, that's what he started out with. Now, having said that, Ted Cruz and others now are starting to say that Donald Trump is for amnesty. Have you heard that argument?
Yes.
And?
Yes, it's... Go ahead.
Well, do you buy it? That's the real question.
Yeah,
do you think he really is?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Ooh. Tell us why.
I just can't believe he's not. That's just my sense of it. It's only a gut feeling. I don't have any evidence.
You're talking about Donald Trump?
No, I was talking about Rubio. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. Trump is who we're talking about.
Yeah, no. No, they're actually saying, this when the debate, it was between Rubio and Cruz. But
right.
Now Cruz is saying that Trump is for amnesty because Trump has said that he would send all the illegals out, but, quote, unquote, let the good ones back in. And it's that let the good ones back in that Ted is calling amnesty.
I think that's a stretch.
That's pretty weak.
That's a stretch. I mean, once you return all these people to their homeland or whatever it is, and then start filtering them as they come back in using existing immigration law, that's what we stand for. We stand for using the laws that are on the books. They've been ignored for decades, but we can restore the system and get things back to what is more or less normal. We encourage legal immigration. We just want it done legally.
And as a matter of fact, if people came here illegally or their parents came here illegally and they were born here, whatever the situation is, and they have become Americanized, if you will, and yet they still have this shadow over their head, it would be doing them a favor, wouldn't it?
I should think so. Yes, absolutely.
And plus, when you know that they're doing this, you're not going to come anyway, because if you have a job or something, you're going to have to fade out anyway. So that's going to discourage it tremendously.
Well, that's a point.
And I think considering what's going on in Europe now is I think the U.S. has been gifted with an unparalleled opportunity, a looking glass. If you want
to see if this is where we want to go, right?
A glimpse into the future, you know, what will happen on this continent if we continue with unrestricted access, you know, by foreigners, whether it's overstaying visas,
right,
which is the greatest number right now of, you know, illegal staying here, and then
having wide open borders.
Right.
And by the way,
migrating.
Yeah, we'll pick this up again on the other side. But the EU is saying now that they are considering renewing border checks.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem is so bad.
There are plenty of people saying the Schengen Agreement is done, you know, which they instituted in 85. Five countries did, Germany, France, and the Benelux country, Belgium, Netherlands, and Luxembourg, to kind of make it very easy to just basically cross anywhere you want to cross. And they're starting to be, thinking that now.
Bruni, do they have the mechanism to reinstate this program? I mean, do they still have border fences? Do they have checkpoints? Do they have a visa system? Do they have passports? I mean, how are they going to do this?
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. But I talked to a relative this weekend, and they had gone to Austria during Christmas. And she said they used to just be able to drive across the border. Now, you didn't even know other than, you know, welcome to Austria, like you go from state to state here. And she said they stood in line for 2 to 3 hours at a border cross point, and everything was being checked.
Right.
So it's already starting.
All right. We're going to talk more about that on the other side. You can join us as well at 407-774-8255. And by the way, we have a list of things or people that you would trust more than Hillary. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show, too. I think you'll enjoy that. In the meantime, stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you ever so much for being out there. We love it. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, we have the great folks, some of the great folks from Legal Immigrants for America. The organization is growing every day. We want every one of you to be a part of it. It's real easy to do. It doesn't cost you anything to sign up. Just go to golifa.com. That's golifa.com. Or you can simply text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. Text LIFA to 53445 or go to golifa.com and become a part of being for legal immigration. We were just talking before we went to the break in Europe. The European Union is considering reinstituting border checks because the free flow of these refugees is being very problematic, to say the least. Angela Merkel says she wants to reduce the inflow of refugees into Germany. And, Bruni, you were just saying during the break that she wants to actually exflow some of them.
Well, yes. Well, actually, there is a lot of infighting within the party and their sister party, and everybody wants to do something else.
Well, so it's actually created a big problem for her, though, hasn't it?
It has. It definitely has. You know, some people want to, like, as soon as, because most of the people are coming across from Austria into Bavaria. So the sister party is the CSU in Bavaria, and, you know, they would like to have buildings there that they erect and just basically put all the refugees there and then check them out if they're asylum worthy or not and then send them right back, you know, if not. Whereas Merkel is trying to actually not even have them enter the EU, and she's trying to talk to Erdogan in Turkey.
Well, this is after she let a million into her own country.
Right,
but
1.1 million, and right now the numbers are changing every day, but right now it looks like there are 3,000 to 4,000 coming across the border, even in the midst of winter.
Every day.
So, yes, every day. If you have 3,000, that's 1.1 million for the year of 2016. If you have 4,000, that's 1.5 million for the year. So even more than last year. And you have many people saying they have a few days, weeks, months. No, it's done. They cannot do anymore. It's going to all collapse. There is going to be a huge,
what do you mean months?
They have to make a decision as to plans. They have to formulate some very concrete plans how they're going to deal with this crisis.
With all of these,
they're going to have to stop the infighting. They're going to have to stop, you know, fighting each other and other countries. And the European Union has to come to a consensus what they're going to do about this, because it's not stopping. It's getting worse than it was last year.
Well, can they reinforce the frontier? I mean, the East Germans built a wall once between East and West Germany.
Well, that wall is completely gone.
I know that, but they obviously have the ability to build.
I remember that. It's completely gone.
But, you know, is it likely to come to the point where they actually reinforce the borders physically?
Probably that's what's going to happen.
Now, go ahead. Well, this is January, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. You got 3,000 or 4,000
coming a
day in the wintertime.
In the wintertime.
When it's cold as heck, and I wouldn't want to go to Germany in this weather.
Yeah.
So when it gets warmer, we can only expect it to get worse.
The numbers to increase.
Meanwhile, you've got organizations in Europe that are forming to oppose this. You've got Britain First in Great Britain, and they just paraded through Luton carrying crosses. They were spit upon, cursed. They had eggs thrown at them. They marched through this town in their own country. They have the Pegida group in Germany, and this is early in the game.
Can you give us an update on the violence and the assaults that occurred over the New Year's Eve weekend? And we know that it happened in a number of different places. Have any of the perpetrators been caught, for instance?
Yes, a few have been caught. Supposedly 18 is the last number I saw 2 or 3 days ago. You know, mainly Moroccans.
18 out of,
mainly
we were talking
Moroccans
hundreds of people.
Though. Yes.
Right. Not very many.
And
But you said mainly?
There were over 1,000 assaults.
Mainly Moroccans and Algerians.
And Algerians. And actually, Angela Merkel has spoken to their leaders and is threatening withdrawing financial aid to those countries if they don't take the people back that Germany is trying to send back, who they don't want to grant asylum to.
See, now, because the impression is that these refugees are all coming from these war-torn countries. Last I checked, Morocco and Algeria aren't.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. And that's why Germans are really getting tired, and overall Europeans, especially the Northern Europeans and Central European countries are getting very tired of it.
How do you send them back when those countries are poverty countries? You know, all it is, you go back and you starve again, and then you come back across the Mediterranean.
Well, and
what do you do? Well, either you send them money or I don't know. What a nightmare.
Well, and I think that's part of the point you're trying to raise, isn't it, Chris? I mean, if you're not going to somehow physically seal the borders, what's going to stop them from just turning around and coming back again?
Coming another way, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, crossing the Mediterranean in boats. I mean, there's thousands of miles of coastline between Turkey and Spain.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
impossible to stop.
Impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Plus, you know, you can't help it. It's like, oh, the boat's leaking. The people are hungry. They're cold. They're tired. Let's bring them in. No, unfortunately, it's a horrible thing, but you basically have to grab the boats and tow them back to Africa and put them back on the beach. Once they're on shore, you know, they become your problem.
Yeah.
Like the Canadians crossing our Canadian border?
all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, the Syrians,
well, you know,
all of them.
The Camp of the Saints, which was published in 1957. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with this book.
No. Nope.
It was written by a Frenchman, 1957. And it's a book about the future, which is now, about how hordes of third world people invade Europe by boat. He predicted this, 60 years ago?
Yeah,
this book has been in print all this time. It's a shocking idea, but it's come to pass now. And he tells in the book how the Europeans were unprepared to cope with it, which they are, obviously.
Yeah. Well, and look at hordes of people crossing the Rio Grande on foot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have to take a hard break here in a second, but we want to remind you, tomorrow night we're going to be having our pet contest. Just got this from Nostradamus.
Oh, no.
He would have Bernie Sanders' pet as the anteater from the 60s cartoon, the one with Jackie Mason.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Jackie Mason? Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the sort of thing we're looking at. I say
Jeb Bush, Flounder,
Barack Obama, Skunk. Part black, part white, always stinks.
Ooh. Ooh. Good one.
That's the sort of thing we're looking at. What's the one for Anthony Weiner?
Anthony Weiner, I was figuring a dachshund because now he could walk him around and show everybody his wiener.
And not go to jail.
You know, not get in any trouble.
He could send texts.
That would be perfect. Imagine he could dress his wiener, too. You know what I mean? It's a wiener doll. That's what a dachshund is.
All right. That's what we're looking for tomorrow night. So get those pet entries ready for the contest. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, help us support legal immigration by joining LIFA. That's LIFA, L-I-F-A. Go to golifa.com or text LIFA to 53445. Please do this. Support legal immigration. This is very important. Obviously, it's a huge, huge issue in this campaign this year. So let's be on the right side of it. Go join LIFA tonight, please. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. This will be the final segment in tonight's show because at 6:50, we're going to hand it off to the forum, which is going on at the CPS Sportsplex, to figure out who will be the best candidates, if you will, to fill the two open now seats. Well, one's not open. One's an incumbent. But anyway, the seats for Apopka City Council. So we're going to turn that over here at the end of this segment. That's the bad news. And the good news is, in the meantime, we're still here. We're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. Prior to the break, of course, we have the great folks from LIFA in the studio with Mike McBath and myself, Christopher Hart. And Legal Immigrants for America is LIFA. And we were talking about the situation in Europe, how we can sort of look over there sort of in a crystal ball. But then in a way, they can kind of look over here and see what they're in for. You were just telling us about.
Mm-hmm, right. Especially as far as under the table work is concerned. In January of 2015, they signed the minimum wage of €8.50 into law in Germany. In Germany, right. And they said that already has led to a lot more work under the table. They know that.
It was just even amongst Germans.
Just amongst Germans. You know, probably also some other, you know, foreigners who were already in the country legally or illegally. And now what's happening, they think about approximately 400,000 of the 1.1 million that have come in or through are going to be doing a lot of work under the table. So an economic institute has already calculated that that will probably affect 10 to 15% of the low-skilled labor force. They're not going to be able to find jobs. And, of course, this is a double whammy in that these people are still officially unemployed.
right.
in front of the
they
state.
Get all the benefits,
so they're
right.
getting all the benefits right. from the German taxpayer without ever having paid into the system, since most of right. them just came into the country. And then they're working under the table, so they're not paying into the system, and they're taking the spots from the Germans or other people who've been there, you know, much longer.
Kind of like
so
what
double
we've been,
memory, and yeah. that's exactly
what we've
right.
been doing. And so we can see the problems they have with these refugees. They can see the problems we've had with illegal immigration, which even though they have allowed these refugees in, they're still going to suffer some of the ills, if you will, of illegal immigration.
Well, arguably, they did more than just allow it. They enhanced it and encouraged it.
Yeah, obviously they're coming to regret it now, especially when you consider they're going to have to now have border checks.
Mm-hmm.
Merkel's.
And Germans, at least talking to my relatives and friends, they're starting to feel like strangers in their own country. They feel like looking over their backs yeah. all the time now. A friend of mine told me she switches on the news at night and she switches right back off because all it is brawls, assaults, rapes.
Sounds
murders,
like San Francisco.
Which is, they are not used to that.
Yeah.
You know, that is new to them, you know. And so it's not a pretty picture, you know. And another thing that's kind of scary, too, which, again, you know, as far as the U.S. is concerned here, I don't know, you probably heard that ISIS is doing a bunch of, it's like in the
right.
fake passport industry now.
Yeah, right. They're
you
just
know,
producing them.
They caught an Algerian in Germany, well, maybe he's not even Algerian, who had six different identities.
Chris Hart
he's not the only one.
Don't give my
you weren't supposed
away.
To tell that.
Maybe Obama was one of them.
Can you imagine what this is going to do, though, in all seriousness, to your travel industry and everything else?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, go to Germany. You can be insulted within 2 days.
And
you know?
I don't know if you're familiar with another incident that happened at yeah. a swimming bath in the city called Zwickau.
I mean,
a whole bunch of things happened in other swimming baths.
This is in
children
yeah.
are being accosted and possibly raped. But the other thing that's happened, what happened in Zwickau this last weekend, yes. In a public swimming bath, they had a bunch of migrants / refugees, and they defecated in the kiddie pool, laughed at the lifeguards while they were doing it. They actually did worse. I can't divulge here on the open air.
I know what
and
it was.
And then they also, yeah, I leave it up to everybody's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they also accosted women. They tried to get into the ladies' changing rooms.
Yeah.
So, and when they were... When the lifeguards were trying to remove them, they just laughed and, of course, fought them. And, you know, and they knew perfectly well that this is not acceptable, you know, because they're talking about having them undergo classes, you know, what you do and
as
what you don't
do.
That's how they're treating infidels. That's how they're treating infidels. They have nothing but disdain
that?
For their hosts.
What do we learn from this? So you've been an American resident for 50 years.
Thanks a lot.
She's only 40.
I take it back. For your adult life, really. And the question I have is, what do we learn from this? What the Europeans are going through now should be instructive to us.
Don't let it happen here.
Yeah. I was going to say, don't let it happen here. Yeah.
That's
okay,
all
so
I
the next
say.
Question I have yeah. is, what do you suppose, considering that you are German and you understand that culture, what do you suppose the outcome is going to be in Germany?
I tell you right now, it's anybody's guess.
Bankruptcy.
You know, I've told them, well, you know, financially, it's probably not too bad yet, but I think culturally and, you know,
it'll destroy
social,
your culture.
Yeah.
I mean, everything will be deteriorating.
Yes.
But how will they respond?
Mm-hmm. See, that's where
that's not clear yet. There are people who are starting. I mean, you can see the alternative for Germany.
Yeah.
You know, already yesterday they had a poll and they're at 13% now, which is the highest they've ever been.
Who is at 13%?
The alternative for Germany. It's a new party that was founded in 2013, and it was
actually party?
Well. That's what they're trying. That's what they're trying to imply. The party was actually founded anti-European Union, anti-Euro. Mm-hmm.
Right. What they call them extreme right-wing parties
right,
is what they call them.
Anything that's against progressive measures over there is considered right-wing.
Yeah, in essence,
as soon as you open your mouth.
In essence, what they are for is for German sovereignty.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right, like the Tea Party. Right. Like the Tea Party would be for American sovereignty, sealing the borders, actually having borders.
Right. I must say that some neo-Nazi elements are trying to infiltrate.
And see,
you know,
this
unfortunately,
is, but
you know, this
is, but this is why it's a valid question, because this is the danger.
When, exactly.
When our leaders, out of a sense of compassion, allow people into a society without any concern for the people who already live there.
Right.
You see, oh, you're going to like this whether you like it or not. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you can only get away with that so far, and then you get a political backlash, and if that doesn't address the issue satisfactorily, then you will get vigilante groups.
We do it out of love, Chris.
Yeah, well, one official...
Yeah, thank you, Jeb.
Yeah, one official said, you know, you should... not pit the interests of newcomers against those of native inhabitants. Like, for example, that was in relation to a family had been waiting for a nursery school spot for their child.
A refugee family?
No, this is a German family, I should have said.
Watch
German family for their child for several months. And here come the refugees, and there is a spot open, and immediately the refugee family child gets into, yeah, well, we need to, you know, assimilate them. The child needs to learn German and everything. And the German family just...
And then they sue the school because they didn't fit in right.
In from the outside.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is the can of worms that you open up when you're blindly, and that's what happened here, blindly compassionate or willingly stupid. Because in Merkel's case, part of the reason for allowing that million in there was economic. In other words, to improve the economic condition by having a lot of new workers come in and add to the economy.
That's a phony story because
they don't speak German. They're not trained.
Exactly.
Many of them
don't want to work.
Many of them are illiterate. They can't speak and write in their own native language, you know, not to mention how to learn German. And, and Germany has very high standards, academic standards.
And by the way, you mentioned something a little while ago about how they know what they're doing. They know that this is illegal. Morocco and Algeria are two huge tourist destinations for people all over Europe and the United States. You can't tell me they haven't seen women walking down the street with makeup on, wearing dresses and not burkas.
Right. Well, as we mentioned last time, too, we spoke about that. Last time we were I was in studio with Emma Paula Hansberger, the founder of LIFA, that many of them have nothing to lose. They know they're going to be they're not going to be granted asylum. So they know they're going to be sent back to their native country. So they
it's
figure,
like party city.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fraternity party.
Exactly.
Yeah, not
let's
the fraternity I want to be in.
Now, let your inhibitions run wild.
Right. One aspect we haven't mentioned either is that this is actually propping up Vladimir Putin.
Vladdy?
Yes.
How does it help
Vlad?
How does it help him?
Well, first of all, of course, the Russian propaganda machine is in full swing, just like at Soviet times, during Soviet times. Everything is hyperbole. You know, if something happens in Germany, because they watch each other's news, there are about 2.3 million people in Germany with Russian descent or with, you know, connections to the to the former Soviet Union or Russia. And, for example, there was a brawl that happened and four migrants were involved. Well, by the time the news reached Russia, it was 400 people who were involved and lots of damage and lots of everything, and it was only really €300 worth of damage to a window that
was
done.
But in other words, he's taking the refugee crisis in Europe to bolster him.
To show that Europe is weak, that it's an unsafe place, overrun by foreigners, and ready to collapse, and it's propping him up. They're, you know, coming up with hip-hop songs in his honor, and I don't know if you heard, but his, you know... favorability ratings are way high now.
And this is in the face of a Russian economy that's in the toilet.
Exactly. The ruble is tanking. You know, people can't find jobs. The Syrian war, the problems with Ukraine. But, of course, it's all a great distraction for him, you know, distract from the internal national problems and, you know, show to the outside.
Very interesting.
All right. So once again, please join LIFA. You can do that easily. Just text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445 or go to golifa.com. Just that easy. Golifa.com. You can sign up. You'll get updates. You'll get alerts And they've got great information on the website that you won't find too many other places, and just too much of it to go over here in any 1 hour. And by the way, here in just a few minutes, we're going to be leaving you tonight, but we're going to leave you in good hands, because we're going to leave you with Pete Paquette and Big Jim Turner, the Big Tuna himself, because they will be conducting the forum up the street here at the CPS Sportsplex to help you know who you might want to vote for, who would be the best candidate for you to sit on the Apopka City Council. All right. Trustworthiness is obviously going to be a big part of it. And trustworthiness is something that Hillary Clinton has a huge problem with. But, Mike, you've come up with something pretty interesting.
Yeah,
there.
What I've decided to do is make a list of things I trust more than I trust Hillary Clinton. First one is Mexican tap water. The second one, O.J. Simpson showing me his knife collection.
Ooh.
Third one, an elevator ride with Ray Rice. Fourth one, having a drink offered by Bill Cosby.
Ooh.
Fifth one, Michael Jackson's doctors. Sixth one, a Palestinian on a motorcycle. Seventh one, gas station sushi. Eighth one, this is what I like, a Jimmy Carter economic plan. Sounds like Bernie and the Jets, right?
Yeah.
Ninth one, a government worker telling me that he wants to help me. Yeah, Obamacare, right? A Brian Williams news report. Or how about this one? Prayers for peace from Al Sharpton. And that's how we'll end it.
Oh, my.
Boy, you can understand why she's so untrustworthy. Oh.
But she's getting away with it.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
You wonder how any human being could vote for this woman. There has to be no moral fiber if you voted for her.
It's all.
I don't get it.
It's all in that politics is like pro wrestling. If someone's your champion, you don't care what they do as long as they do it for you.
Right.
All right.
Well, is that does that apply to Donald Trump, gentlemen?
I think he understands how it works.
Okay. So all of the revelations about his previous positions that would be said to be liberal are just ignored?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Exactly.
So that does apply.
That's why he does what he does. He understands that if he can become your champion, that's all he needs to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
Of course, I will say in his case, he hasn't demonstrated that he's been dishonest or done anything particularly illegal that I'm aware of.
Right. So at least there's a big difference between these two characters.
I'm not trying to equate them that way.
His biggest crime, evidently, is being a tough businessman. Mm-hmm. How about that? Maybe we need that.
We would love to see that in Washington.
That's right. I'd rather see that.
I think that'll change all the dynamics.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Once again, great work. Please join LIFA. Text LIFA to 53445 or go to golifa.com. Once again, please stay with us right now, because you will be able to hear the forum live on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer, and 1520 WBZW, the Apopka City Council Forum. Night, everybody.
Folks, if